Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
He knows how to play some music, doesn't he?
Who is it?
I don't know either, but it's heavy and I like it.
I don't know, Cameron.
I think Eric's making his way up on stage. Come on up here, sir. Come on up, you and your big forehead. Come on up.
Wow.
He's my buddy. I can make fun of him.
His forehead's not that big.
It's monstrous.
It's normal sized.
But you look good.
Hey, studies have shown that people with big foreheads are considered more attractive.
That's right. I've always been made fun of for having a big head
as well, and I can say that you also have one.
I do. Well,
I have a sexy head. Okay,
and I do have both. I have a large head and a large forehead. Some people only have one. I have one.
You could also go with the turtle theory that famous people, like most of the most famous actors in the world. Big heads.
They do.
Yeah, that's
true. My forehead was a lot bigger until I went to Hans.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's shrinking.
It is a little bit shrinking now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A lot of things are shrinking.
Good job,
on
Hans Wyman.
855-282-8255. That's
Cam's
our text
got a more
line.
Palatable forehead.
Text in. We want to hear from you. Call in, too. You know, we'll answer your calls. Don't get me wrong. Especially if it's
Eric
about TJ's marriage.
Oh, that's okay. I don't mind. I'm used to it when I worked with TJ and Cam. Between the two of them.
That's a sexy sandwich. Hockey Bob chimes in and goes, rap. I spent the first 15 years of my life in L.A. Trust me.
Liar.
Hockey was S.H. something something before 99 got there. All of Southern California. And I'm like,
why does he hate Marcel Dion?
Because he was irrelevant at the time. Now, in the hockey community, yes. But outside of that, he's not sexy. No one cared. Celebrities weren't going to L.A. when he was there.
I'm not saying hockey wasn't cooler in L.A. when Gretzky was there. Obviously, that's the case. I'm just saying I don't think it was that big of a deal to half of the league at the time that Gretzky was going to L.A.
Wait. Big of a deal for the players? They don't care.
Right.
The players.
I'm talking about the Canadian markets.
I'm not talking about.
I think they were angry.
Yeah, no doubt they were angry, of course. They wanted their guy in Canada, of course. So he's a Canadian
that
guy.
That devil woman from St. Louis was
dragging
him to the States.
No, you need to go to L.A. in the biggest market possible, and you need to be a superstar, and that's exactly what
happened. I would have rather seen Gretzky go to an American club that was on the verge of winning some cups.
Well, they almost won some cups. They lost what?
They almost won one cup. They shouldn't have gotten past Toronto in the Western
and they
Conference
did.
Final. Or
because
the
of him.
It was the Campbell Conference championship around that year.
And they lost.
And
who did they lose to? Edmonton?
They lost to Toronto. They beat Toronto in the conference
Montreal.
Final and then lost to Montreal.
95.
And Patrick Roy.
Yep.
Desjardins was on that team. They had a bunch of guys.
They had some. Chelios was on that team.
No, Chelios was already.
Was he already with Chicago?
Chelios was already with Chicago.
Right. You know more about hockey.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I just don't know. I don't think L.A. was a great fit. I thought it was cool for about five seconds that the Hollywood people got involved.
And that's what we needed.
Was it?
I'm just
thinking about Hockey Bob in L.A. A young Hockey Bob.
Oh my God.
What was he doing
there?
He
was wheeling so many girls. I was sick.
Did you hear about his new girlfriend?
No.
Oh, yeah, he's got a new girlfriend.
A new girl. Wow.
So he shows up top
that
shooter.
That he stalked. And then she fell in love with him. It's like Stockholm.
So he shows up top shooters. And, of course, he has a cut-off T-shirt on.
No sleeves.
And he's like, oh, I got a girl. I'm like, who? He's like, Big Al hooked us up. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Wow. Oh, my.
Big Al hooked us up. I'm like, oh, boy. So she knows Big Al. I'm like, oh, have fun with that. Anyway, Gino Logic from Bevo Mill chimes in and goes, wait, a career minor league with one good year kept getting pushed behind others? That doesn't seem like this organization. Wait. God, Gino, you're always all over the damn place. That doesn't seem like the organization knew. Last year was an outlier. Let me give you some baseball insight. A player who spent 10 years in the minors and finally gets called up has zero weight in a locker room with vets. They get laughed at. That is 100% true. It is. And if you go in there and you're acting like a big dog and you've been in the elite minors for 10 years, guys are like, step aside, son. I run the show.
But what if it's, okay, he was in the minors because he had injury problems, and now at the time he's the best player on the team.
Doesn't
that make a difference?
Nah, no, it does not. Does not at all. Even if you you trade for a guy that's been in the minors, or a kid gets called up and he dominates all year, and he walks, struts in the locker room in front of Keith Tkachuk, and he's like, move this out of my way. Walt's going to be like, sit your ass down and shut up. You do this for five more years, then we'll talk. Shut up.
Yeah, but
I'm telling you.
Did we not say this?
Did I not say that exact same
you
thing?
You did.
Thank you.
I don't know that that's how pro athletes work now. I don't know that that's how the younger generation is going to stand for being treated that way. Millennials are a different breed, man.
Could be, in a way, but it should be that way.
There's a coaching conference right now in the hockey world And one of the main, like, keynote speeches that's being given relates to how to relate to and how to communicate with millennial hockey players in 2018.
They're a different breed. Don't get me wrong. In baseball.
Hey, you're a millennial.
We're all millennials. What year were you born?
I'm not. I'm 39, so I think I'm Gen X.
Oh, you just missed
but
the cutoff.
Right, yeah, I'm right near the border. Yeah, I'm not like one of you awful millennials.
They say 83 and 84 is the cutoff.
Okay.
And I'm an 84.
Recovering alcoholic from somewhere says, can we get back to a real sport?
Have some pickles, Eric.
Real sport, please. Do you guys even know where Darren Millard is going, leaving Hockey Central? I didn't know that. What's his deal?
I don't know where he's going.
I didn't know. Yeah, I had no idea about that.
Millard's a good dude, though. But you know what sucks is I don't get to watch – Canadian feeds. I don't have a Canadian dish like the other cool hockey people in
St. Louis. Either.
So
I mean, I got an NHL Network, and that's about it.
What I have is a IP scrambler that I use to access Canadian websites to watch things in Canada.
So anyway, Eric, what's your take on this? I mean, you know your baseball, like I know. Eureka,
porn?
I guess. Yeah, Pornhub. Yes, that's a great analogy. I was thinking of something. Thinking of what Kate would have said. Anyway, what's your whole take on this whole time? Were you surprised? Did they not do enough? What's your take on this whole thing, buddy?
I was surprised they didn't trade Bud Norris, especially given that they moved Tommy Pham. I was okay with the Pham trade, and I've been a big Tommy Pham guy, but they gave him 400 at-bats this year. He didn't produce.
Nope.
He was basically a league average hitter and not very good defensively in center field, and he's 30 years old with chronic vision problems and an injury history. You want to move that guy for two guys who are in the latest prospect rankings. They're both in the Cardinals' top 15 in prospect rankings. So you get two top 15 prospects for Pham. I'm cool with that. I'm just surprised if you're going to go down the road of trading out guys who maybe don't fit long term, that you wouldn't trade your closer who's on a one-year deal and has been really, really effective this year. And John Mozeliak basically said they shopped him when he talked to the media yesterday, among other guys, and just didn't get the return they were comfortable with. And that's surprising to me because of how good he was this year. I would think that you could have found something for him. So that was surprising to me. They didn't trade Norris. Everything else, though, is kind of about what I thought it would be.
Do you think anything is residue from that Saxon article maybe with Norris?
Ooh.
Maybe juice isn't worth the squeeze because they
could
can't
be
sure
could
because
be.
There was some issues the year before in L.A. too.
Yeah, that could be it. There wasn't a great market for some relievers. Guys who had been dominant for several years had a really big market, like Zach Britton.
Right.
But Bud Norris, up until this year, had not been a dominant reliever. This year, he's been really, really good. So, but I'm just surprised they didn't move him. They're caught. And John, if you listen to John Mozeliak or read about what he said yesterday, it got a little testy with the media. And I think it's because they're caught in between, and they're trying to say, we're competing, we're trying to win now, but at the same time, we're trying to get a look at these young guys. And the real answer is, yes, that's true, but you're leaning more toward the young guys. And that's okay to say that.
Yes.
Just come out and admit it. Just say, you know what, we still are trying to win every game. You know, we're going to give Dexter Fowler a little more run, whatever. But really, these next 2 months are just about the young guys, because that's where they're at. But the problem is the messaging of saying, in fact, I wrote down in my notepad.
God, you are a nerd.
Yeah, we're hitting signals. So this is the quote from John Mozeliak. He said, "I hope people understand that for the most part, we're still committed to trying to win."
Mm-hmm.
I hope people understand that for the most part, we're still committed. That is an exact quote. That's what you say when you're
non-committal.
What if I said that to my wife?
Look, I am fine with giving younger guys a look and then trying in the offseason to reload to make a run next year. But just admit that's what you're doing. And also, you kind of undermine that a little bit when you do things like play Dexter Fowler. Now, I understand why they're playing Dexter Fowler. I guess it makes sense for a short period of time, but you need to be ready to cut the cord on that quickly. Because Tyler, if you want to see what Tyler O'Neill and Bader have, then let's see what they have.
Yeah.
Is some of that not overexposing Bader and O'Neill too? Because maybe you don't know if you're not going to look to trade those guys in the offseason. Maybe you hope that you don't overexpose them, and if you get a little bit of something and give them that taste, you can say, hey, if this guy gets 500 at-bats, where will he be? Instead of, we got 300 at-bats.
My guess is it has more to do with Fowler. Like, that contract, to us in the media and to a lot of fans, they say, well, what the hell? You have Ballpark Village. People are coming. You got a billion-dollar TV deal. Just eat the deal and take 3 years to pay a guy to do nothing. And I get that, and that's maybe what will end up happening. But from a Cardinals perspective, they're thinking, we have this investment of this guy. We brought him in for a reason. He had a pretty good year last year. Not a great year, but a pretty good year. And we just don't want to give up and eat that money until we are 110% sure there's nothing there. And the only way to find out is to give him a fresh start after Matheny gets fired and say, every day, Dex, you got this. And to be fair, as I said in the Midday Grind, he has produced about a 700 OPS in the last 15 games. That's okay, but that's a hell of a lot better than the 550 OPS he was producing up until that point. Now, I get it. It's been 2 weeks. Am I buying Dexter Fowler long term? Absolutely not. I would sell that stock. But from a Cardinal perspective, I understand why they are giving him every chance to rebuild value, either to be with them or, more likely, to have some value that you can put it together a package where somehow you could move him to another team who might eat a little bit of the deal.
I cut my losses on Dexter Fowler in the sense that I sit him for the simple fact of I don't know how much better it can get as opposed to how much worse it could get.
Yeah.
If it gets any worse than this, there's no value, and then you're going to eat that money one way or the other. If I'm the Cardinals, I try to get creative. I sit him down, and then he's playing every whatever day it is.
I think they look at it now, Dave, probably like his value's basically zero. Well, so it can't – there's at this point, there's no more value to lose. The only thing he could do would be he's never going to rebuild the value barring like going out and being incredible. He's never going to rebuild value where you could just trade him to get some good assets back. But maybe you can work it out where you can trade Fowler with a prospect to somebody else. They give you a prospect back, and they eat 50% of the deal.
Yes.
Like, that's probably what your best-case scenario is. But the only way that happens is if he hits for the next 2 months, and the only way you can find out if he hits is if you play him. So I totally get playing him to a point. Now, if we're 2-3 weeks down the road and it's not working – at that point, then I think you do just say, Dex, you're our fourth outfielder for now. We'll figure it out in the offseason. I mean, I think you have to because you want to have some idea what O'Neill and Bader are going into this offseason. Or else what's the point?
No, you're absolutely right. And I think O'Neill kind of showed a little bit last night. He hit the ball a little bit, and he looks jacked, of course.
Well, he really does. Looks good.
He does look great. Harrison Bader, of course, and we know his athleticism in the field, and he needs to work on his bat a little bit. But we have to give him that 2 month stretch and see what they where they are and what they need to do to reevaluate going into the offseason. But look at a guy like Marcell Ozuna. I mean, we were hard on him. Has he found his groove? I mean, is this the Marcell Ozuna that we were kind of hoping for? He's hitting the ball out of the park. I don't know how many what his stat line is in the past five games or whatever the case is, but he looks good. Looks like he has some power.
Shot at John Avery right there.
Well, he's shot. Well, no. You said that, but no, there was a little tweak
he's
that
in
he
both
did
of his
too.
Eyes.
Yeah. Who's a new hitting coach?
Figure.
Budaski.
So he came in.
Just call him Buddha. We call
him
Buddha.
Cam. Fine. That's right. That's from Buddha, right? He tweaked this one minute little detail, and just like a golf swing.
Right.
I always try to compare it to a golf swing, which probably is just
hey,
the
Marcell,
worst
look
ever.
At the ball.
Look at the ball. As I always said, just kind of turn your head just
use
a little bit.
Both eyes instead of one. I think there's a lot. I think there is something to that of if everything was the same and you were evaluating these guys expecting something to be different, then that would seem pretty foolish. But everything is not the same, and especially with Mabry gone. And it's not just Mabry out. It's bringing someone in who has had a really good track record with improving guys' approaches to the plate and is a guy that is thought of as someone who, if the Cardinals didn't make this move, someone else may have scooped him up.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm surprised that hasn't happened now. People rave about it.
Coach?
Yeah.
Was he so a AAA guy?
Yeah, he was in AAA, and Colton Wong, I remember, raved about what
Richard,
he did.
All of them went down there and
figured
became
out.
Better
right,
hitters.
And they became better
they
hitters. Exactly. So you got to give these hitters a chance with this guy. And Marcell Ozuna, like, it was 4 months. Was it a bad 4 months? Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
But it was a great 6 months last year. So if the player is somewhere in between, because last year may have been a career year, but if he can get back to 70-80% of what he was last year, you got something. And that's why you don't just give up on guys because they've had a few bad months. I know fans get frustrated. Give up on – now, Fowler's a little different case because he's 32.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Marcell Ozuna's in the prime of his career. Fowler's 32. And also, if the advanced stats, the underlying metrics, you know, how barrel percentage,
he's
hard hit percentage – Ozuna still has that.
Yes.
Fowler doesn't. And that's why – that's the problem with Fowler is it's not just that the numbers that we look at like batting average and stuff are terrible. It's that the underlying advanced numbers aren't very good either. And that makes you think there's a good chance he's done.
Yeah,
as an everyday major leaguer. Could he be a fourth outfielder for somebody? Sure.
Sure.
But as an everyday major leaguer, on a good team at least, he might be done.
That, so many layers to this Fowler situation. I go back to when he signed, and it just never seemed – it happened late. They overpay for him. They don't bring him in if Tavares doesn't die tragically in a car accident. I mean, it just – he comes from the first World Championship Cubs team since 1908. Everything
value
in the
skyrocketed.
World just told you, like, yeah, this just doesn't seem right. And at the time I said, Dexter Fowler doesn't seem like a fit. I don't care how great he is in the clubhouse. There's outfielders coming. I don't know about this.
What about this, though, Eric? Like, what about more through the avenue of paying these guys out at a young age instead of trying to go on the market and finding guys in their 30s and overpaying them that were great up until then? I mean, buying guys and throwing money at them when they're in their 30s, mm-hmm. it just – doesn't seem like it works out, maybe for a year or two, but even like throwing the money at like a Piscotty at that age or what they did with DeJong or whatever the case is. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
You're buying arbitration years at that point.
Yeah, yes. And they're in their 20s. No, I think that's what happened with baseball last offseason. People say, was exactly. it collusion? It wasn't collusion. It was teams making an assessment to do exactly what you just said, to stop paying people for what they've done before and start paying them for what they're going to do in the future.
Yes.
And the problem with baseball is because teams have so much control and many guys don't even start their career until their early 20s, by the time they hit unrestricted free agency, they're often around 30, 31. That's what makes Harper and Machado so exciting, is because if you pay them, you're getting their prime years. It's not like paying Albert Pujols for his declining
years. Who'd you want in this in this trade deadline? Who have you?
Oh, for the trade deadline.
For the trade deadline.
There was nobody I wanted to add. I would have preferred they sold Norris if they could have gotten anything for him. But they're in a tough spot.
They're in between.
I am not an advocate for I know there's a lot of smart people who disagree. I am not an advocate for a tear it down strategy. Trade Carpenter. Trade Martinez. I think this team is closer than that. But
they can't trade Martinez anymore.
You also can't do that in St. Louis. You just can't.
Right. That's part of it. I don't think you can do it for your fan base, and I also don't think it's the smart thing to do. I would not do that. But what they do need, if you're not going to do that, then you need to go hard the other way, which is this offseason you need to get a big dog. You can't, whoever it is, Machado or Harper, you can't be outbid. If Machado's obsessed with playing shortstop, if that's a deal breaker for him, then I would go after Harper. Because I just don't think Machado's a very good shortstop. And I think to pay a guy $35 million a year who would be a defensive liability for you at a premier defensive position is a bad idea. And Harper might be cheaper. Harper might be cheaper because he's had such a down year. You'd still have to pay like right,
oh
which cheap is relative, right? But you might not have to pay the and the Cardinals have the money. Like,
yes,
look, I'm with the organization to not be to tear it down and rebuild. I'm fine with that. Again, I agree with that. But if you're going to go that way, then go all in and don't sell me on $100 million payroll or $130 million or $140 million payroll. Pay top dollar. Don't be outbid. If whoever you decide it is, Harper, Machado, whatever, somebody else we're not talking about, don't lose because you were outbid. If you're offering $20 million more over the total length of the deal and he just wants to go somewhere else, fine. But don't lose your guy because you got outbid. That is the number one thing I think they should focus on this offseason.
Well, Brooke.
Hi.
Hi. What's your title here, by the way?
Sales manager.
We're going to say the owner. We're going to say the
that
owner.
Works.
Does
fine.
That make
we'll
sense?
Congratulations. You got a promotion.
Right. We'll just.
You can do whatever you want.
We just won't tell the owner. That's fine. You won't
care. Well, you're the owner. Brooke, look, I know you're into baseball as well. What's your take on this whole situation? You see Cardinals fans coming in and out of here all the time because we're right down the road from Busch Stadium.
Less than 500 feet.
Less than 500 feet is such a perfect location in this place.
Yeah. But
before we get into Tin Roof, what's your take on what Eric Messersmith just said?
Listen.
Everything he says is wrong usually. So
wow.
No, I like
hey,
it.
Hey, I did
we're
think
good.
They would make the playoffs this year. I did say that.
Yeah, you're still driving a bus.
Not looking good.
And I
no,
think you're
I'm
drunk, and I'm passed out in the back. I think we're getting an accident.
No, listen, I mean, you know, like, Fam is good, but he's in his sophomore slump. I mean, he's just not.
Although he's been in the organization for 12 years.
You know what I mean,
I know what you mean by that. You're right.
Yeah, and I just feel like, I don't know, they've called up so many people. Like, I just feel like if you're getting minor leaguers, you've got to replace them.
I agree with that. And look, it's weird, though, because Tommy Pham was unique. Right. He was, in a way. And I criticized him because he was a little bit outgoing and calling guys out. I didn't like that kind of aspect. But just his the optics of how he played on the field is contagious. Like, the energy, like, I'm hardcore. Like, I'm going out there and I'm going to try to beat everybody that's in front of me, and I'm going to do my thing.
Yeah.
You're going to miss that. But I think that you could fill that gap with a Harrison Bader in a more positive direction.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, being competitive and then being negative because I'm so competitive and now everybody's playing as well as me.
Right.
So I didn't like that aspect, but I do. I think now that he's traded, I kind of miss Tommy Pham now.
I told you don't run Tommy Pham out of town, and you did.
What's your dad have to say about that?
Well, he said, you know, this is the thing. It's like, early in the year, he turned down that two-year deal. He turned it down. That's your own fault, buddy. I don't know what to tell you.
You bet on yourself, and I don't mind that.
Right.
But you're overconfident,
but
too.
But you were overconfident, and unless he was just so on the bench, and there's no – you're not going to have another 2017 season if you're sitting on the bench all the time.
That is true. No doubt about it.
You're just not.
And look, and professional sports are a tricky, tricky thing.
Right.
And you can lose your focus, and a lot of times it's in your head. It is. Ask Jake Allen about that. I mean, the guy's all over the place. But when he's on, he's on.
Don't get me started, Cam.
Okay. I don't want negative coming out of him again.
No.
He's all over Jake Allen. But, no, it is. It's a mental thing for the most part.
Yeah.
And but we'll see where the Cardinals are going to turn up. Look, the bottom line is, what's good for Tin Roof and everything, they're still packing that place.
That
in.
Is true.
They're packing that place.
We are packed all the time for Cardinals games.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about Tin Roof. I pump this place up all the time. I mean, it's great. The food here is just fantastic. I think I'm going to order the chicken and waffles.
Oh, it's a good choice.
I know.
It's a good choice.
It's going to put me in a food coma, but I don't care. I don't care anymore.
Food coma is fine.
Who cares, right?
Where are you going after the – nowhere. Food coma.
No, I'm not going anywhere. You're right. I'm going to go home and go to bed. tell us a little bit about Tin Roof and how you can enjoy this place coming before Cardinals games, after Cardinals games, Blues games, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, we are gearing up for the Blues season, and obviously the Cardinals season is still going on. We've got different specials every day of the week. So yesterday was Tuesday, and we do Margarita Tuesdays. Three different kinds of margaritas. They're all $6. You know, it's just a good thing. We had Emo Night a few weeks ago. We got Shake and Shout coming up. I mean, there's just so many.
What does that mean, Shake and Shout? Like what?
So we have a group called the Ambassadors of Harmony. They're a 10-piece swing band, and they come and we sell the boozy shakes, and they do the boozy shakes and swing dancing.
I used to swing all the time. It's usually down to
the Ozarks. Different thing, though.
Oh,
yeah.
Swing dancing. That's what I meant.
Different. Yeah, huh? Sure.
Well, so you have somebody up, and we're sitting on an unbelievable stage right now. I got a drum set behind me.
Yeah.
Eric's going to do a little solo on that bad boy here
in
front of the cameras. But no, you got live bands all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't want to listen to the music, you can creep in the back.
Oh, yeah.
The place is so big. You're not going to listen and hear the music. You can kind of set yourself away from everybody, and you have a full bar back there too, right?
Absolutely. A full bar that extends out to the patio. Those garage doors are amazing. Just roll up. You can get a drink inside or out.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. So what's the big you got any big events coming up in particular when it comes to hockey? Besides the Blue Note Breakdown, of course.
Obviously.
Going to the Busch Stadium. Any big events that you want to tell our listeners about so they can get their butts down here?
Yeah, I mean, we have Hudson Moore coming. He's a national recording artist. He's coming here in August. Date has not been announced yet, so I can't officially say when he's coming. But he is coming in August. And then for the we just had that big Kenny Chesney concert. This week, you know, this month we've got Luke Bryan and Journey and Def Leppard.
Journey and Def Leppard's coming to town.
It's going to be amazing. So we'll run a limited menu that day just to make it a little easier, some stuff that's not normally on our menu. So
what do you suggest that people do? Before these concerts, if you're trying to find a place to come down and relax, come down here, have your meal, then you could walk anywhere you want to do.
Oh, yeah.
Find a parking spot down here. You can park in the back.
You can park right in the back.
Right
validate.
In the back.
Absolutely.
Yes, you go down, you creep in the back, and now you're set. Because that's the biggest thing. You're
coming
from Eureka. You're coming from wherever. You want to park. You want to solidify a spot.
Mm-hmm.
Stay there. Get out and be able to walk anywhere you want to go. This is a perfect, perfect spot
to
do that.
Exactly. Less than 500 feet from the stadium. We're about 2 blocks from the Enterprise Center. So we're set pretty much everywhere you want to go.
Well, thank you very much, Brooke.
My
I appreciate
pleasure.
It. And congratulations on owning this place.
Oh, yeah.
Congrats.
Good to see you again, Brooke.
Good.
I'll be going around the back of the bar in no time and do whatever I want. Because you're the owner and I can do... We're
obviously.
Friends. Okay,
we're
good,
friends.
Good,
it's
good,
fine.
Good. Thank you, Brooke.
Thanks,
I appreciate
guys.
It. Awesome, awesome, awesome. 855-282-8255 is the text line. Let me read a couple of these bad boys. Let's see. Gino. He's all over me, as usual. Let's see. Boyle Man chimes in and goes, I'm a millennial, and it's terrible. He goes, just shoot me straight. I'll take my criticism and get better. No babying me, please.
There you go.
I'm the same way. I'm a millennial. I like that way, too.
You're a millennial, too.
We're born in the same year,
oh,
Cameron.
That's right. I look a lot older than you because I'm weathered. You do. A recovering alcoholic from somewhere says, is it that far-fetched to think that nobody outside CLE or C will deal with Mo for A, B, the most arrogant person on the planet, and B, cheating like coked-up skank at Roxy's in the shower dance with the Houston stuff?
Wow.
What the hell is he talking
about? All right, wait, look, there's no evidence.
Talking about the hacking, which wasn't hacking.
Let me tell you,
I spend half my life in sports media. I spend the other half in cybersecurity.
God, Eric,
the cybersecurity side of my life, when this quote-unquote hacking scandal came out, we laughed. It's not hacking. It's logging in. It was a logging in scandal. They didn't hack anything.
Yeah, I get those logging in scandals all the time when I'm logging in a different thing.
The Cardinals' big problem isn't that they can't make moves. I mean, they trade. Think about the trades they've made with different teams. They made a bunch with Toronto. They made the big one with Miami for Ozuna. They just did one with Tampa Bay. Like, it's not like John Mozeliak only deals with one team. The problem is they've missed on guys. They've made incorrect evaluations about players.
Yeah.
We try to get all these conspiracy theories. Is Mo kind of a prickly personality? Does that affect the trade?
No, he's on the phone all
day.
They
made some mistakes.
Yeah.
They got a lot right at the beginning of his tenure, way more than they got wrong, and they won a lot. And lately they've gotten more wrong than they got right.
Wait a minute, guys. I think you're missing a very important element of this conversation. John Mozeliak's not the GM.
Right.
Come on, guys.
Boys, this was fun.
You're staying.
I see Matty White.
Oh, did you see what he's doing? He's
Matty White is
here,
and Hanny Yates is here eating. It's like the line change reunion we just had TJ.
It is the line change reunion. Oh, it makes me sad.
Matty said it's almost like the Beatles back together. Pretty much.
Beatles. I love it. Thank you, Eric Messner.
Yes, it was fun.
Appreciate it, good times. We need to go to break. I got a couple more texts coming up. I got Matty Whitener coming to join us as well. This is the Hardline, 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.